Good morning. If you look at your bulletin at the notes for the sermon today, what lady do you see's name down there? Well, we're not going to talk about Abigail. We're not going to use that scripture. I want to tell you that we're going to be talking about a lady that most people despise. But after we get through today, you might not feel the same way about her. Before I get started, I want to tell you about High Attendance Day. Brother Jim's already mentioned it, but High Attendance in Sunday School next Sunday. You got 1 week to ask all those folks that love you, and you know there's a lot of folks love y'all. And if they don't go to Sunday School and church, you need to invite them to come into this special time. Now, if everybody in here, let me count real fast. I got 181. Is that about right? If we multiply that by two, if everybody brought one with them, how many would we have? A bunch. We might have to get out some chairs, amen? Would that be something good? But care leaders, keep on calling you people, and outreach leaders, keep telling the class to bring you in those slips of paper for prospects, and let's get them contacted and get them up here. But if everybody brought one that's a member of this church, we'd have to have another room in the back with a big TV up there with everything transported to that big room. Amen? And we could do it if you would. We had a good Sunday school attendance today. But at 8:30, we're going to have High Attendance Day breakfast. And that's going to be good. They're going to have it ready for us. And like Brother Jim said, if you will, in your bulletin, you'll see where you sign up for that. And so let's do that and enjoy a good breakfast. And after we get through filling our stomachs, we can fill our heart in Sunday school, and our soul can be filled in the preaching hour. Amen? Mothers are teachers. Mothers are cleaning ladies, and they are clothes washers. Some mothers are gardeners and mowers of lawns. Most mothers understand that baking cookies are a lot more important than washing windows. Mothers are nurses and doctors and psychologists and counselors and chauffeurs and coaches. Mothers are developers of personalities, molders of vocabularies, and shapers of attitudes. Boy, I remember my mother used to shape my attitude. I know, y'all got shape some too. Mothers also are soft voices as they tenderly say, I love you. And mothers are a child's first impression of what God's love really is. Mothers are all of these things and much, much more. If you've got your Bible this morning, if you would, if you don't have it with you, look in the back of the pew there and get the Bible out and turn to Matthew 20. We're going to begin reading with the 20th verse, Matthew 20:20. Would you please stand with your Bibles open to the reading of God's holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant word? Matthew 20:20. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? Jesus asked. She replied, in your kingdom, let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on the right and one on the left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones that he has chosen. Father, today, as we look at this lady, and Lord, we think about how many look at her in one way, first impressions. But Lord, as we maybe look at this in a different way, because this is Mother's Day, we might find that there's a different person that we've been led to believe these so many years. So God, we pray that you will be with us in this message, that every word that I say will be yours and not mine. Bless these mothers on their special day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I saw Brother Jim kept pulling this up, so I'll do that too if it's okay. I don't know what this lady's first name was, but since she was James and John's mother and her and their daddy was Zebedee, we're just going to refer to her as Mrs. Zebedee. Is that okay? Well, now she knew what Jesus had been teaching all this time. She had probably heard him talk about it and certainly had heard her sons talk about what Jesus told them about his kingdom. She also knew that her sons, James and John, were very close to Jesus. They were two-thirds of the inner circle of Peter and James and John. So it seemed to her evidently here that when Jesus sets up his kingdom, and since they were so close to him, that maybe he ought to give them a special place, a place of importance, of responsibility and authority. When we read in this passage, the first thing that we do is criticize Ms. Zebedee because she seemed to be arrogant and at least overconfident. But since today's Mother's Day, maybe we're going to look at her different and see if her mind and her heart was thinking the same thing that maybe ours does when we read that scripture. We need to remember first when this incident took place that Jesus did not grant her request, but neither did he deny it. He simply reminded her that there was a great cost to the people that would be sitting on the right and on the left hand of the Lord. And only the Father himself was able and authorized to choose who they were. Today, if we go to Jesus and we ask him for something, we call it praying. And it's the right thing to do because the Bible tells us that we should pray without ceasing. So why, if we do that and we think nothing about it and think we're obeying God's word by praying, then why do we criticize her when she came to the Lord praying that her sons might be part of the kingdom? So we don't think about that sometimes. I personally think that it was a good thing. I can't think of any more important task for a mother to do than want her children to be part of God's kingdom. And all of us should feel that way. I know mothers pray. Sometimes they pray out of necessity. Sometimes they pray because motherhood is not easy all the time. Sometimes they pray just from the frustration of it all. A mother gave her two-year-old son his first responsibility. She told him to watch his little baby sister, that she was going to step in the next room a second. Well, she'd been in there about a minute when she heard a loud thump and heard a baby crying. She rushed back in the room to find out the baby had rolled off the couch and on the floor and was stretched out crying on the floor. And the son was sitting there, 2 years old, looking mighty confident and innocent. She said, "Son, I told you to watch her." He said, "I did." He'd done exactly what he was told to do. He watched her fall off the couch, and he watched her as she lay there crying. Being a parent is not easy. Sometimes it's filled with joy. Sometimes it's filled with sadness. Sometimes your children make you so proud it wants to bust the buttons off of your shirt or blouse. Sometimes you can't find enough handkerchiefs to wipe away the tears that comes up and rolls out of your eyes. The Bible says, "What good is it if our children are successful in making money and driving fine cars and living in a good neighborhood if they don't know the Lord?" I paraphrase that scripture. What does it matter if they gain the whole world and lose their own soul? Being a parent's hard. But Ms. Zebedee here gives us a valuable example. She prayed earnestly in this scripture that her sons would be part of God's kingdom. We need to have that same concern about our children's mamas and daddies. And I hope that in the heart of every mother and daddy in this place today, that we also will have a desire to approach the throne of God and pray for our children and pray that they'll be saved. Pray that they'll be saved from eternal damnation and pray that they will be saved into eternal life. That's our job. One mother told me not too long ago, I just don't know how to talk to my son. He's lost. He's doing things that he shouldn't do. Mamas, you love them. No matter what they say, they love you. They care about what you feel. And you pray about it. God, through that of the Holy Spirit, will give you the words to say. Amen. Not only did Mrs. Zebedee pray for her children and pray that they'd be a part of God's kingdom, but she prayed that they would be actively involved in the work of the kingdom. Well, where do you get that, preacher? Listen, it's not enough just to be saved. Churches are full of people that's content with just coming in and filling the pews on Sunday morning. There are plenty of people that just likes to sit back and receive the blessings, but seldom they get involved in doing any of the real work in church. Where does the spirit of church service begin? We know where it begins. In the home with mothers and fathers, number one, setting examples for the children and praying for their sons and daughters that they might be involved in the work of the church and the work of the kingdom as teachers and leaders and missionaries. That's why we want to teach even in the children's department, to teach them how to call the ones that's in their Sunday school class that missed a Sunday, and they call them, and we missed you. That's the beginning. It lays that foundation for them to be outreach leaders when they get older, that they might be the ones that go out into the world and reach the lost. And I tell you what, our world is the most awful place. I never dreamed it would get like it is. We need these boys and girls trained up and ready to go abroad and even in America to reach the lost, to reach these people that hates us as American and hates us as Christian. We need to raise them up so they can make sure that the church continues on till Jesus comes. Jesus asked in verse 22, he said, are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are they ready to do whatever it takes, to do whatever is needed in God's kingdom? What was the answer when Jesus asked it? They said, yes, most definitely yes was the reply. Miss Zebedee wanted her children to be involved in the work of the kingdom. And as parents, that ought to be our attitude. They ought to be our desire. And we ought to be thinking about that daily and constantly. But we can't train them to do it if we're not doing it ourselves. Because we want to be like our mamas. We want to be like our daddies. It's our responsibility to train our children. Ms. Zebedee had big expectations. She didn't just pray that her two sons would be workers in the kingdom. She wanted them on the right hand and the left hand of Jesus. She had great expectations. And when you're working in the kingdom, there's no higher position than to be on the right and the left of the King himself. And she was talking to the King himself. That's where she wanted her sons. That's where we ought to want our sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters. We may have thought that Ms. Zebedee was too aggressive. We might even complain that maybe she shouldn't have said that. But you know, I admire her boldness. That's what we pray for all the time is God give us boldness when we share Jesus Christ. So maybe her son might have got a little bit of the boldness from her as she addressed Jesus that day. Too often in church, we settle for mediocrity. Too long in church, we've been satisfied with just making it to a pew and finding a place to sit down where either is not too cold or not too hot. If we took that conversation away from the people in this church, y'all gonna be mad with me? There wouldn't be a whole lot of talking going on. Am I okay with y'all? For too long, we've been content just to sit back and watch others do things, watch things happen. And it's time for some of us this morning to take our position on the right and on the left and be leaders. To be leaders, not 20% doing everything. Become a part of the outreach. We'll get names to visit, and we'll have a time of visitation. And we start praying when we get here. And I was talking to one of the deacons the other day. He said, come in here, and I was waiting, and I was waiting, and waiting. And I couldn't go, but I was going to give them the names because he had an accident. Nobody showed up. We need outreach leaders in the church that will get out and knock on doors and tell people about Jesus. And it's easy to do it. Once you do it two or three times, you can't wait. I see old Bobby Tenney. He had to leave today, but I see him come in on Tuesday when we go visiting. And boy, he just raring at the bit. I mean, he's just ready to go. And he's found out what a wonderful thing it is. But we need to take our position and become leaders and become a part of the outreach and take a lead in making sure that the message of Jesus Christ is shared not only through our community but throughout the whole world. It's time to strive for excellence, to reach for the very best there is. The Lord calls us to be His disciples, and that means that we should have an effective field, be effective laborers in God's field this morning. Today's a very special day because we recognize our mother's love, and it's probably the closest example of God's love. It's a love that goes through the valley of the shadow of death every time she brings a new life into this world. It's a love that sacrifices over and over again. A love that would even dare to lay down its life for her offspring. Out of World War II and the Holocaust that took the lives of millions of people, there's a true story told about Solomon Rosenberg family. And if you've heard this, I want you to hear it again. Solomon Rosenberg, his wife and their two sons, and his mama and daddy, was arrested and placed into a Nazi concentration camp. The camp that they was put into was called a labor camp, and the rules in that camp was very simple. As long as you can do the work, we'll permit you to live. But when you become too weak to work, you'll be exterminated. That was the rule, and they all knew that because they saw it every day over and over as it was happening. Rosenberg had already watched his mom and dad marched off, never to see them again. And he knew that his youngest son, David, was going to be the next one that was going to happen to because his whole life he had been in very poor health. Every evening, Rosenberg would come in after his hours of labor, and he would search for the faces of his family. And when he found them, they would huddle together and thank God that they were together just one more day. One day, Rosenberg came back, and he didn't see those familiar faces. He finally saw his oldest son, Joshua. He was in a corner weeping. He said, Josh, tell me it's not true. Joshua turned and looked up at his daddy. It's true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do the work. So they came after him. Your mother, where's your mother? Oh, Papa. When they came to get David, he was so afraid. Mama told him there was nothing to be afraid of. And she took his hand and went with him. You see, that's motherhood. Mothers, this is your day. May God bless you this day. And I pray if there's anybody here that hasn't experienced the love of God, and you know the love of your mother, it even surpasses the love of your mother. God loves you so much. I pray that today will be a time that you can make a decision if you don't know Jesus Christ. If you feel that you've walked through valleys alone, you can know there's a hand reaching out to you and saying, there's nothing to be afraid of. I'll go with you. That's Jesus talking. You see, this one, this Jesus, has already went through the valley of the shadow of death for you. And he's reaching out for you. He made it possible for you to have life. He extends his loving invitation this morning. That the same way when a mother is sitting in her living room and she hears a car door slam, and she goes to that door and pushes it open and reaches out her hands when all them grand youngins and children are coming in. Come on in. You see, that's what Jesus is doing. His hands are outstretched even now. And all we have to do is just reach up and get it. And you have that opportunity now. We're going to be singing a song of invitation. If you need to come down and thank God for your mother, I don't know. We normally don't do that. Whether she's still here or she's already gone home, we need to thank God for mothers. And then anything else that you need to pray about, if you don't know Jesus, we can take God's word, show you how simple it is to become a Christian. Because, see, he's looking for us to do that very thing. His hands extended. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, I love you this much. And today, he'll show you that he means it. Father, we ask now as we go into this invitation, Lord, I don't know how to give an invitation, but I know that the Holy Spirit does because he touches the heart. And he touches the soul when I can only reach an ear. So, Father, be with us. Touch the ones that need to come up and say, God, thank you for my mama. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.